once at one time, and I just forget who I put down. They're there.
God bless you, saints. Just a little quick, I guess, testimony reminder. I appreciate Brother Ryan for, you know, presenting his testimonies all the time to us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it gets your wheel turning as what God done in your life as well. So I appreciate that, Brother Ryan. Thank you. And sometimes I remember things and then a little more detail come again. I was like, man, I forgot about that. So, you know, and I thank God for bringing me through this journey that I'm on right now. And funny enough, I go back as far as living in Trinidad. My journey probably started there. And I didn't realize it till now. I remember I was probably 18 or 19 years old. And I was laying on my bed, not doing the right thing, going down the wrong path. And I said, Lord, if you save me from, you know, this destruction that I'm going through, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. But I wasn't even a Christian then. I went about doing my business, you know, went about doing what I needed to do to get by. But looking back now, he's always been there. Amen. And the name of this song is You Never Left Me. And I hope that this song is a blessing to your soul this afternoon.
Amen.
When I'm wasting your time trying to find my way on my own, when I was running away, you came and found me and you called me my name. You never left me. You never left me. I couldn't see what you saw in me. Still you loved me through it all. You never left me. You never left me. I couldn't see what you saw in me. Still you loved me through it all. You were still faithful when I wasn't faithful. You were still good when there's nothing good in me. You still love me when no one else can love me. You sought me out and you wouldn't let me go away. You never left me. You never left me. I couldn't see what you saw in me. Still you loved me through it all. You never left me. You never left me. I couldn't see what you saw in me. Still you loved me through it all. In my weakness, you were faithful. In my sorrow, you understood. In the doubting, you were patient. In the trial, you were good. In my weakness, you were faithful. In my sorrow, you understood. In the doubting, you were patient. In the trial, you never left me. You never left me. I couldn't see what you saw in me. Still you loved me through it all. You never left me. You never left me. I couldn't see what you saw in me. Still you loved me through it all. In my weakness, you were faithful. In my sorrow, you understood. In the doubting, you were patient. In the trial, you were good. In my weakness, you were faithful. In my sorrow, you understood. In the doubting, you
You were patient in the trial, you were good. You never left me. You never left me. I couldn't see what you saw in me. Still you loved me through it all. You never left me. Sing it with me, saints. You never left me. I couldn't see what you saw in me. Still you loved me through it all. In my weakness, you were faithful. In my sorrow, you understood. In the doubting, you were patient. In the trial, you were good. In my weakness, you were faithful. In my sorrow, you understood. In the doubting, you were patient. In the trial, you were good. You never left me. You never left me. I couldn't see. Still you love.
What a mighty God. We just thank God that He's never left us. He promised that He would be with us, even in us, to the end of the world. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you for that, Sister Trudy. We appreciate those songs. Jonas, you want to help us take a break? Praise the Lord.
But thankfulness, being thankful, thankfulness, and forgiveness for all of our sins and iniquities, and bless the tithes and offering, and the pastor, and all the deacons in the church. Let us have a good church service today. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. As he passes that around, let's sing My Sins Are Gone. 372. Amen. You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say my sins are gone. 'Cause they're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness from the dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. 'Twas at the old time altar where God came in my heart, and now my sins are gone. The Lord took full possession, the devil did depart. I'm glad my sins are gone. 'Cause they're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness from the dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. When Satan comes to tempt me and tries me to make out, I say, my sins are gone. You got me into trouble, but Jesus got me out. I'm glad my sins are gone. Oh, they're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness from the dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Let's stand to our feet. I'm living now for Jesus. I'm happy night and day because my sins are gone. My soul is filled with music. With all my heart I say, I know my sins are gone. 'Cause they're underneath the blood on the cross, Calvary. As far removed as darkness from the dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God. Sing that chorus once again. Oh, there underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. As far removed as darkness from the dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone.
Praise the Lord. Aren't you happy for that?
Yes, amen.
Praise God. Ready for the word?
Amen.
Well, we're standing on our feet already, so let's sing Only Believe as Brother Wade comes.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe that all things are possible. 'Cause Lord,
come to receive something, you come to hear from the Lord. That's what you got to tell yourself. It's not a person that you're looking at. I may not even be your favorite, but you got to listen to what I say, because God's going to speak to you today. It becomes my lot for you to listen to the Word of God through these ministers. That's the only way we're going to get it, through the foolishness of preaching. Are we going to get out of here? Because that's what God promised. He said, He gave some apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists for what? Perfecting of the saints. Not to get you just a little bit. No, to perfect you, and that we all come together in the unity of the faith. How are we going to know what the unity is if somebody doesn't tell us? Because Satan will give you his version of unity. The Baptists will give their their version of unity. And the world will give you, the world united now under whatever you want to be. Rainbow, you choose it. You don't even have to choose your gender until you're 5 or 6 years old, and then you decide who you are. How weird is that? Sodom and Gomorrah, all over again. Just debauchery on every hand. Filth of the world. But you know what? We used to be a religious nation. But the prophet of God told us in 1956... that the United States turned God down. So he doesn't even pray for the United States anymore. That's what he said. I pray for the people in it. and the people that are getting caught up in this system of what's going on in the world, the politics and all the things. You see the wars and rumors of wars, but didn't the Bible tell us this is what was going to happen? It's not something that many times before I've told you, you go talk to people out in the world, even a nominal Christian, they don't exactly know what's going on. They think maybe this is the Antichrist or the number, a tattoo, or we're going to have 7 years of tribulation, or like Sister Christine back there, you know, they put that movie out, Left Behind. Well, now there's Left Behind too. How you going to get left behind twice? I mean, what? So, I mean, how are they going to happen? I ain't going to get left behind the first time, so I ain't going to worry about that. But the world will. They'll be deceived and fooled, and they'll get left behind, and they'll still think. Brother Branham said, he said, they'll still think they're getting saved. That anointing will be so strong from the devil till the people will think they're still getting healed, they're still getting saved. And he said, too late then. All right? So let's go to the Lord. Well, let's get these announcements out of the way. Oh, if whatever we're doing, what we're doing with Sister Barbara. Sister Barbara needs that email that she's been talking to y'all about. And if you look at me kind of strange, go talk to Brother Sister Barbara. But she needs to have that thing she's looking at done in about a week. So most of you, all of you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, ask your neighbor, but don't ask a certain neighbor what's going on. So anyway, not to be exclusive, but y'all know what I'm talking about. It'll be wonderful. We got a lot of things going on. Remember, Brother Bob, Brother Aaron, all them, Brother Luis will be speaking Wednesday night. Remember, next Saturday we will have Bible study at 6 to 8, and we will have a prayer meeting from 5 to 6. So if you want to come a little bit early and come in here and pray, music will be on. No talking, no fellowshipping. You come in here and pray. We'll fellowship downstairs, and we'll do questions and answers from 6 to 8 on Saturday. And then Brother Dutch Scott will be here the next Friday, speaking for us on that Friday evening. April the 8th at 3 o'clock, we'll have a fellowship meeting. Brother Chris Long will be here with us. And then also on the 9th, Brother Chris will be with us, and that will be Easter Sunday. So we'll keep those things in our prayers. And we have several other meetings coming up, some in July. We have some brothers coming to speak for us. And I really appreciate the fivefold ministry that we can listen to the Word of God. And you don't have to listen to me or some around here. You know, Brother Bam said, don't let this get common, though. Yeah. Don't let it be common. Don't let it be a common religion. Don't let it be, oh, that's just Brother Ryan. No, it might be God speaking to you. Yeah. And you might miss your hour of visitation. So let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this time you give us. Thank you for this day that we're living in. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for giving us even a chance, just a chance, to have eternal life. Just an opportunity for us then to have this message placed in our laps. The greatest message since the Lord Jesus, yourself, came on the earth is laying in our laps today. And Father, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to let it just slip through our fingers as sand? Or are we going to hang on to it, hold on to it, pour it in ourselves so that we can be more like you? This world, from the beginning of time, has been waiting on that Adam and Eve condition before the fall, where there is complete control with a human being, with their soul eternal, and there be no sin. Well, that's what we're heading to. And the plan that you give us seemed like it was marred and seemed like it was you were going to have to go back to the drawing board, as they say. But no, everything falls right into place because, Lord, your plan and purpose is perfect. You knew what you were doing. Now, Lord, you continue to know what you're doing. You've not lost anything. You'll not lose anyone. Father, everything that's part of this plan you saw before the foundation of the world by foreknowledge. And you saw us even right here today, standing right here today at this very moment. You saw this in your mind just as vivid as it's happening right now. And Lord, I pray that you be well pleased with us here today. In the hearers and the speakers, Father. I pray that you just bless each one, Lord, that's on the highways. A lot of them are coming back today. Brother Aaron, Brother Bob, Brother Boyd, and Brother Gary, and different ones, Lord, that are traveling back. Brother Michael, all those, Lord, that are coming back from South Carolina, Lord, I pray that you'd be with them, Lord, on the highways. Bring them back together, Lord, in you. Father, be with the ones that are sick. Lord, Sister Frieda there with her kidneys hurting, Lord, we stopped and prayed there in the middle of 1 o'clock or whatever it was. Lord, I pray that you would just bless her. Lord, just rain down blessings upon our sister. And Father, may she feel like it and just feel absolutely wet with the saturation of the Holy Ghost. Lord, that rain that falls, that sometimes we feel it ourselves even, that little tingle, that feeling of beautiful raindrops falling on our head, Lord, that's the healing power of the Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'd be with every one of the other ones that are sick too, not leaving anyone out, that we'll all get the blessing, Lord, even the ones here in the building today, Father. Rejuvenate us, Lord. There's times, Lord, that we feel sometimes, sure enough, about not wanting to get out of bed to do anything. But, Father, we get up, and when we put our feet on the floor, we say, thank you, Lord. We put our feet on the floor, and as the prophet of God says, many times I've chuckled when he says, when a believer puts their feet on the floor, all devils in hell tremble. Well, sometimes we don't feel like that, Lord. When we're first getting out of bed, we feel like that we can't move a muscle. But, Father, somewhere deep down inside, that inside of the inside man, there's something going on. In a supernatural world that surely the demons are shaking. And, Lord, I pray that each one of us will have that anointing today to drive that demon of whatever it is away from us and completely out of the building. Yes, sir. Father, give us this day our daily bread and be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I kind of chuckle sometimes when you get out of bed and you put your feet on the floor and you go, oh, man. All devils in hell are trembling. I can't hardly get out of bed. But I'm going to believe what that prophet said. Amen. In a supernatural realm, we're waking up. And he's not gone, boys and girls. He's right there with us. So I just want him to know, next time you put your feet on the ground, say, Satan, here I come. This is how you're going to be defeated, whether I look like it or not. Amen? He's defeated. He's already defeated. How's he going to be defeated? Through the bride of Jesus Christ. So let's start here again. Now, this is part 97. We're heading toward 100. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. 2 Peter 1. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. I hope we get to that today. In your patience, Luke says, this is Jesus telling us, in your patience possess ye your souls. You know, somebody's in control is patient. Somebody's in control is patient. Because we go haywire. That's not being patient. And usually what happens? We goof up. We do like Brother Brown. We go out past the plan of God, or we even go out past the plan of us. Our day, like Brother John. I mean, we go out and say, oh, man, I shouldn't have done that. You know, well, there's a do-over. You can do-over. You're good. We just back up. And let's remember that how many times have you, we were talking about crock pots and microwave. You know, you go into the house and we used to, and even when we hunt, we like to put potatoes and carrots and roast in a crock pot, turn it on low, and then go out and do our business and hunt and do whatever. And then when we come back, oh, the smell. Oh, it smells so good. Well, that thing's been cooking the whole time. But then you get some, you look in, the potatoes are a little bit hard. Well, what's the first thing you do? Throw them in the microwave. Well, that's the same way with us. We want to have a religion that is a crock pot religion, but sometimes we look over there and we see a microwave sitting over there and we like to throw stuff in it. And what happens if you put something in a microwave and get it too hot? It explodes and you have a mess everywhere. Amen? And most time you sisters have to clean it up. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh right now. Amen. Justified in the spirit right now. Seen of angels. You say, oh, I can't see. But you know what? They can. It says seen of angels. It doesn't say see angels. So the angels that are encamped about us today, they're looking into this dimension seeing us. And they're going, come on. We can't do anything without you. We're just standing here at attention. You know, you ask and we'll come. Preached unto the Gentiles, happening right now. Believed on in the world, right now. Received up into glory. We're heading in that direction. Amen. You can be seated in the Lord as a blessing to the reading of the word. We were talking this morning about the plan and purpose of God. I want you to understand there's no other way. That's what I was trying to get in my head the other day. There's no other way. We cannot start and have our own plan. The plan's got to be the plan and purpose of God. And man, until, and I just say this boldly, until the prophet of God came in this end time, man did not know the complete plan of God. They did not know the complete plan of redemption, or maybe they had a thought of it, or they thought this was right, or they thought that was right. They thought Father, Son, Holy Ghost was the way to be baptized. They thought that there was an eternal hell. They thought that there was three gods or three persons in a Godhead. They thought all these things, but when the prophet of God come, he brought that plan and purpose of God, and he says, this is it. And you know what? God vindicated that it was it. There's no other. There's nothing other than this. You say, boy, that's real bold. I stake my soul on this right here.
That's right.
You say, yeah, I do. He brought me to Christ and brought more than the denominations brought me, than the world brought me, than the different ones that had their ideas brought me. The prophet of God brought, I don't care if he didn't do what they said he did and he was not in Arizona and he didn't shoot this and he didn't kill that. I don't care. He took us to God. And he took the plan, brought the right plan here on to us. Not to the world. It's to us today. It's not to the world. It could be. Listen, it could be. We're not exclusive. God says we're exclusive. God says if you're my bride, this is what you're going to get. It's like we were talking about this morning. There's a group inside of a group. There's groups inside of groups. Because listen, Paul even stands up one day and he says, not all Israel is Israel. Not all bride is bride. Brother Brown said there's been brides, churches. And he makes this long sentence about that. He said, but there'll come one. One true bride that will not get out of line. She will stay in step. She will catch the mind of God. See, that's why I believe that's what Brother Ram's job was. He was to bring us and give us the mind of God, and then we decide whether we take it or not. That's what he was doing to the denominational world. He said, here, this is the truth. I'm not going to shove it down your throat, but I'm bringing you the truth. God's vindicating it every night by giving us signs and wonders. And if you don't take it, I can't make you.
That's right.
I think I have a quote in here, or maybe for later, where Brother Brown says, I come here every year. Said, you Pentecostal women, you still cut your hair. You still wear makeup. You still wear pants. He said, it's not doing you. He said, it's doing some good, but it's not doing what Brother Brown. And I've always said this. Brother Brown did not destroy one denomination. As much as he preached against them, as much as he told them they were of the harlot system, they ain't a one. Said, okay, we don't want to be Baptists no more. We're just going to completely do away with that denomination. We're all going to be message believers. No, what? There was 969 when he was here. There's 13,000 different denominations in the world now. So guess what? Satan just kept on going. But there's a group of people. There's a group of people inside a group of people. That's going to take this message, as the prophet said, and sweep it onto the coming of the Lord. Amen. That's going to what? That's going to walk with God and be not one day. Right. But you're not going to do it. We're not going to do it halfway.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
That's just a plan. I'm sorry. I didn't make it. I'm just here to enforce it. Right? That's what we are. We're not here. We're like deacons. Deacons don't make the rules. They enforce the rules. So that's why we're here. We're here not to make the rules, but to enforce them. To give them to you. And you know what? There's a law of speeding out here right now, right? There's a law of drinking alcohol, and if you drink, you know, you DUI drink, or drink while you're driving, right? Did that stop people from doing it? No. Courts are full of people that drink and drive, that drive over the speed limit. It hasn't stopped anything, but it has stopped the ones that it needs to stop. And those of us that don't drink, doesn't matter anyway. Amen? Have you ever worried about a DUI law being changed? Why? Don't apply to you. Same way with these things in the Bible. We can do away with a lot of our problems if we'll get into this, not make it a law, but make it grace. Hello, somebody. Come on. I don't worry about whether they're passing laws, whether I can drink and two beers now instead of four. Or why? Oh, Lord, they're going to start closing the beer joints at 10 o'clock. Oh, my word. So what? You ought to close them at down. But does that bother you? It shouldn't bother you. Things like that shouldn't bother. No, shouldn't bother people out in the world, but it does. Because why do they make the law? Because there's somebody there. Listen, this is kind of funny, but if you look on these things that you buy, especially lawnmowers, you buy a lawnmower and there's a little thing right down here with a man with his hand in the blade. Right? That says, do not put your hand right here. Guess why that sticker's there? Some man put his hand underneath there while it was going. Right? Because somebody did it. Well, that's why God's got things in the Bible, because he knows people are going to do it. But he's also going to know there's people that won't ever do it. Amen? So that's why I take grace. I see the law part of it, but Brother Brown said, preached a sermon, church choosing law for grace. They chose the law when they should have took all this as grace. Because the grace to me is, though, if I do, I'm not going to ask how many has had a speeding ticket in the past several months. I haven't, but if you did, then you get grace. Why? You have to go pay a penalty, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to have to pay a fine. Mm-hmm. But there is grace there. They don't just take you out and hang you up in a tree. No, there's a law that covers that. Same way in the Bible, there's grace that covers you if you do something wrong. Because Christians do things wrong. Sorry to let y'all in on that. If you got a problem, send an email to Sister Barbara. Jesus died for one purpose. That was to save those who God foreknew. Let me give you a little snippet here that helps me a lot. Because a lot of people confuse that when you talk about foreknowledge, predestination in the message is, it's like even Brother Branham, he said, you know what? He said, predestination is a bad word to use. Well, it's still a bad word to use if you don't know what you're doing. All right, you got to make it by foreknowledge. The Bible says those who he foreknew he did predestinate. So what comes first? Foreknowledge. He foreknew, therefore he could predetermine that you were going to have a seed or a word that was put aside for you at the time of your new birth. But not something you're going to have from the time of your natural birth. Everybody with me? But God foreknew that. So Brother Brown could say, in the mind of God, if you have that eternal life, you always was eternal. Not you that I'm looking at, but you that's inside of you is what I'm looking at. That thing never had a beginning or an end, because if it had a beginning, it will definitely have an end. All right? So to me, foreknowledge is the most simple thing to explain, but it's the most hard thing for people to understand. So we know one thing's for sure. Brother Dale's been preaching predestination. That's probably one of his favorite topics. But it all comes by foreknowledge. So F-O-R-E, foreknow. So those he foreknew, he predestinated. So he could see what's going on, and he'd see the choice you made. Good or bad, he saw the choice you made. And he even saw you never make another one. Because see, he can't see us choose to have eternal life and he impart it to us, and then see that on down the road, even Brother Bram said, God's not an Indian giver. He's not going to give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then you're going to mess up so bad he's going to take it away from you. Right. See, that's why he says, he said, I think it's a church age book. He said, I want to settle this insecurity about security. I believe in eternal security. If you believe it like he believes it, and I believe it, but not like the Baptists believe it. Once saved, always saved. Yeah. I mean, man, you in the Baptist church, you shake a hand, you give, you know, you make a decision, they say. And you don't have to go to church the rest of your life. You can drink, smoke, cuss, you can do whatever you want to do. But now when they bury you, you got it because back, you know, 50-something years ago, you made a decision. Well, that's not true. We know that. But eternal security is once saved, always saved if you get born again. You get born again, you can't get unborn again. You get born again, you are what? Sealed to the day of your redemption. Sealed to the day of your redemption. Everybody with me on this? I'm going to keep you awake. God knew there was going to be somebody saved. All right, he knew. He foreknew. Therefore, if you know what's going to happen tomorrow, if you know for a fact, let me tell you something else. I hope the rapture takes place on Sunday. Because all the demons are getting ready for Monday. And they're going, I got them. I'm going to make that tire flat before they get them to go to work. I'm going to make them late. I'm going to make them sick on Monday. And we're going to be going, later, devil. We're going to disappear before Monday happens. Amen? Maybe y'all like Mondays. I do not like Mondays. Mondays at the post office is heck. You've got 2 days worth of mail you got to deliver and 2 days worth of y'all's packages that y'all ordered. Especially there on Herbert Siggers Road. Several. On Herbert Siggers Road, that I'm looking at now, and that are not here. But I don't like Mondays. I just don't like them. Because you come out of today, you got just a wonderful anointing, you know, and we go downstairs, or we go eat, or we go talk about the word of the Lord and how good he was, or good he was today, and how good he is. And then in the morning, like I said, you wake up, your car won't start. The alarm clock won't go off. You're just late all week. Just messes everything up. Yeah. But let's make Mondays Sundays now. Let's when we get up and put our feet on the ground tomorrow, let's just remember God is with us today as much as he was Sunday. Right. All right. So you say that to yourself. So there had to be a preparation or a way made for them to be saved. So see, there's a way or a plan that God has, and what we have to do is connect ourselves to that plan. All right? God's not going to make us and force us, but he's going to make it so available that we can accept it or reject it. So available. But he knows who's going to and who's not. Therefore, his plan, now look, our plan is just like all over the board messed up. We can go 100 different directions. But God's plan is he's got one drawing and he knows exactly what's going on all the way down through here. We don't. But see, so according to his plan and purpose, he can do these things and he can tell, you know, he said, well, they're going to pray about this, but they're not going to pray about so much about this. They're going to go ahead and make this mistake. God can't make you not make that mistake. Right. If he saw you make it to begin with. Right. All right? But he did see, as Brother Brown says many times, he said he did see you get down on your knees and say, God, forgive me. You know, Satan comes up and says, hey, you see what they did? Yeah. Hey, you see what they did? And the Lord says, no, I didn't see it, but I can hear their voice. Right. That says, forgive me, Lord, for what I'm doing. Yeah. Look. If there wasn't, in other words, there wasn't a plan, salvation wasn't possible. We can just go home, eat, drink, and be merry. Right. So God, foreknowing that people would be saved, let me say this too, foreknowing that we would want more. That we would want more of God. That we would want more than just coming to church, reading our Bible. That we would want to be the Word made flesh. Amen? Knowing who they were, he had to lay a plan down. So now in order to be God, he had to know who will do it, or he wasn't God. Because he's omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. He knows everything. He's at every place, all powerful. So foreknowledge looks back and says that he foresaw this. So he saw it. And knows that's the reason he could tell what the end was from the beginning. How could he write a Bible if he didn't know what the beginning was and didn't know what the end was? He wrote the Bible. Man didn't write it. Man penned it. But he didn't write it. God wrote the Bible. And knows that's the reason he could tell what the end was from the beginning. And therefore, knowing that all these marvelous days that we're living in now, and stand to witness and see the things that we've seen now, God had to make a preparation for it. In other words, Peter sits in 2 Peter, and he writes this and pins it to the church. Everybody with me? All right, stay with me for a minute. He pins that to the church. Add to your faith virtue. Virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, temperance. Temperance, patience. In other words, that you'll be what? In other words, you'll be a complete person. And then through the church ages, though, you see Brother Branham, he says a lot of that gets laid down. Because even Jude tells that we're to contend for that faith that was once delivered to the saints. So it hadn't been delivered even in Wesley's day, even in Luther's day, that faith. Now, faith was delivered, but not that one. Not that faith of the fathers. The faith was delivered. But like I said before, I read it to you several times. Faith alone won't do it. In the end time, faith alone will not do it. You can have all faith, Paul says. Know all mysteries and not have what? Not have the Holy Ghost in your soul. Many people that are leaving the message are proving that. They never had charity in their soul. They never had the new birth. You can't leave this message and have the new birth. You can be confused. But you can't leave this message and say it's no good, that Brother Brown's wrong, that he's, you know, this and that. You can't do that. You know what? If you believe you can do that, you're going to get caught in it too. If you believe that, you're going to get caught in it too. But if you've got charity, you will not fall from this message. Amen. You might fall down flat on your face and have and make mistakes and sin, but you'll never leave this message. Because this is the love of God to a group of people that don't even deserve it. If you think you deserve this message, you need to hit the altar. Nope, you don't deserve none of this. Think about that. But God, seeing that you wanted it more than your neighbor did. Why'd your neighbor not get it? He didn't want it as much as you did. He saw you keep punching and keep punching, keep going, keep striving. In other words, like I said before, this is a battle. It's not a picnic. Right. Amen. The purpose of the Holy Ghost, the Father, God the Father, dwelling in you, working out his plans. How many times do you look up the word plan? Brother Ram talks about plan. So God did have a plan. And we got to get in that plan. Right, yeah. We can't go around it. We can't be where we say, well, I don't think that'll work. Now, how can you tell God, I don't think that'll work? It will work. You just don't want to put yourself in it. Working out his plans to finish his plan of redemption, working where? Through you, making you a co-worker with him. I wish you could see that. Co-worker with him. Heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Whatever Christ gets, you get. The problem is we maybe don't want a lot of the things that it costs too much for us to give up this part of our life. Pride Somebody had it written down on a piece. I think something Deanna named it. Pride. And the Bible says pride comes before fall. Pride. We're too pridish. We don't want to do exactly that. I want to have some knowledge, but I want my own. Listen. Yesterday, or Friday, when Micah and Esther got married, she gave up everything she had. She gave up her name. She is not a black anymore. She's not a pure woman anymore. You understand what I'm talking about? She's give herself completely to Micah, laid everything on his shoulders, and said, you got to take care of me. According to the holy vows, sickness and in health, good times and bad times, credit, debt, cash. Did y'all have any money fights? Oh, come on now. Elisa's just smiling and John's going, we all do. We all do. We all have money fights. Well, I said, well, never mind. Let's keep going. But I want you to see this. This is what struck me because, look, do we have the Holy Ghost to hunt for lost souls? You say, brother, well, you're preaching on statue of perfect man. That's above it. Well, if we lose that we're above trying to get people into the fold or getting people born again, we've lost the very foundation of the plan. And we have to go back and reach back. Thank God he reached down and got me and you. And now he's reaching back in case we are slipping and falling. And by the foolishness of preaching, he's trying to bring us all up at the same time. We're not all going to come at the same time. But you know what? Don't leave me behind, Lord. Don't leave me behind. But you got to make yourself available in the plan. Because what does Satan do? He says, well, no, that's not the plan. Here's the plan. When it strikes into the heart and takes its abode, there's a thirst and a hungering for lost souls. Wow. That's what's the matter with the meetings today. There's not enough spirit touch in it to go for the souls of the lost and the dying. It's more to make a name or a church or a building or a denomination instead of a soul-winning program. How pitiful. I hope this church never gets to where it's us four no more and we're done and I don't want no more in and No. That's why I pray for your kids, my kids, your spouses, your moms, your dads. Call their names all every night. It may be redundant, but I'm old. And to keep from forgetting, I have a list that I go by every night. Try not to forget anybody. Now, God's secret mystery. Well, I'm glad you said thank you. Nobody else did. Well, I want to thank y'all. Dad prays for us. He gets up all night and prays. Mom, too. What did Brother Dale tell Brother Al? Brother Al said, Brother Dale, I couldn't go to sleep last night. He said, so I prayed for you. And he said, I went and he went to sleep. Brother Dale said, Lord, wake him up and let him pray for me again. Right. Now, back in the back part of God's mind, there was something that he was trying and was going to achieve. And he had a motive in doing it. Now, what was his motive? To bring us back to an Eden condition. Now, to bring us back to an Eden condition, what was Adam? Adam was standing there, the Son of God. But he was the first Adam. He had these virtues and the head. But he was missing a piece. He wasn't a redeemer. But he had headship over this earth. He controlled this whole earth. And Eve was right there with him, right? So he had headship. Now see, we don't have headship over this earth. We need to have headship over this one first. Right? But he had headship over the whole world. I mean, he could just go, like Brother Bram said, he'd go, tree, move over there. I don't like you over there. Eve says, oh, it's a little too cool today. Well, let's turn the heat up. Now, how many of us have done that before? Yeah, that's what I mean. But But that's what we're getting back to. But that's what Adam was. Adam was the ruler of this earth. He controlled every animal. He controlled everything that happened on the face of the earth. And we lost that in the garden because of what happened. And then when God withdrew himself from the earth, that's when the fall happened. And we're living in it ever since. But there was something he was trying and going to achieve in order to let himself be expressed. Because first, it wasn't a moon, star, Adam, or anything. He was God. He was God. But he actually, look, he exactly wasn't God at that time. Because God is an object of worship. There wasn't anything to worship him. So what did he do? He wanted those attributes to be expressed. And him was love, and him was father, and him was to be son, savior, healer. And all those great attributes that we see, look, Brother Man brings it today, that we see already expressed, they were in God. So he saw them expressed. We see them expressed. Now, listen, the mind of God, when you walk in this world, realize one thing for sure. You're the only person that's in their right mind. You're the only person that's in the mind of God. You're the only person. He said, oh, now what about my brothers? I said, you better find out if you are. It's all right to know that Brother Donnie is or Brother Luis is, but I got to know if I'm in the mind of God. If I'm in the will of God. So we got to have a deep call. Because if there's a deep call, there's got to be a deep to respond. If we're calling out for God, he's got more to give us. That's why with these virtues, we've got to actually ask for them. We got to ask for them. How many of you have asked? Every time we go to a step, God give me virtue. That brother's explained to me as much as he can what virtue is. Now I want some of it. Knowledge. I want knowledge. I don't want knowledge that puffeth up. Because remember, true Holy Ghost knowledge is a revelation which will drive you down. Amen? There was something in there called out for more of God. You might have been living in a justified state, but you wanted the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's why I believe in the steps, folks. If you can't put in your own life justification, and when you move from justification, you move to sanctification, and you knew God was doing something in your life that nobody ever done before, you couldn't do it yourself. Listen, you didn't want to do it. The real you, I mean, the one that was in you at that time, no, I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to go to church. Oh, bro, I was born out of the womb going to church. You was born a liar. But that's why Brother Branham always told us justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because you can be in a justified condition, but you got to know that. You got to come to a realization that I've been justified. Now, Lord, get that unclean spirit out of me. Change my attitude. Give me a new spirit. But it's not the Holy Spirit. Remember, we've done been through all this. It's a new spirit to get in contact with God and to make him what? What do you know what I'm saying? That he can get along with your spirit. He said, you can't even get along with yourself. And that was me. Is there times that you can get along with yourself? Not many. Well, y'all pray for me. Oh, y'all just smiling. Sometimes I can be all right with me, but most time I can't. Because there's always that little thing sitting here. But I know the day I got justified and the walk that took me through that. And then I come to a sanctified condition and the walk that I came through that. Amen? I say, me, you're going to have... Listen, this has been explained for 50 years. That you didn't just come to this message and just drop into a seat and it all come poured down on top of you. You had to come through a walk. Crock pot. Justified. Sanctified. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Finally, you got something to eat. Finally, you're cooking. Now, the very reason that there is a Holy Spirit is because you were hungering for it. Bible says, those that what? Hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. I know this is simple, but we've got to get this down first before we can have any of this. If we think we've got all these and all of a sudden, like Brother Brown says, you fall off right here. Foundation becomes to crumble and have cracks in it. But look what we're talking about this morning. Enoch walked with God. There was nothing else it says about Enoch except he walked with God. So he walked with God. And you know what? It's kind of strange that Enoch built the pyramid. So Enoch builds the pyramid, and now the pyramid is being used for all kind of things. And even Brother Branham comes up, and when God tells him, says, go to 2 Peter. Write all them virtues down, and then put them in a pyramid. Right. Amen? Put them in a pyramid. Yeah. There's Enoch's walk. That's Enoch's bricklaying ability right there. We got to have the same thing, because what did it do with Enoch? Enoch walked with God and he was not. For God took him. It's the same way with me and you. We're going to have to walk with God more and more every day, or we're not going to make it to the top. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. And Noah and only a few people were saved during that time. He preached 120 years. Boy, talking about patience. 120 years. He said it was going to rain. Not one drop. Not one drop. Not one scientific note that says, well, maybe. No, because remember, the ground was what? Watered from the ground. Brother Brown said, not a cloud in the sky. Got to have clouds to have rain. So Brother Brown says, look, now let's go to temperance. We got to get to patience here real quick. Temperance, how to answer in kindness when wrath is spoken to you. You know, and you all know me, that I'm pretty quick on the tongue, but I'm getting better. Because you know what I'm doing now? I'm counting to 10 in my head before I say something. Sometimes 1, 2, sometimes 1, 10. But in answering kindness with wrath is spoken to you. How many times have we had to eat our words? And those of you that are asleep, your hands are being raised spiritually. Because we've all been quick on the trigger. We've all been, and what did it do most of the time? Pie in the face, right? Most of the time, it ain't going to work out if you jump to conclusions. So, be patient. That's why temperance and patience works together. All right? But talk with godly love, temperance, kindness. If you still blow up and sass and fuss and stew and carry on, you ain't got it. It won't vulcanize. And then we'll talk about vulcanization. Let's go to patience. Remember, it's not in the Old Testament. A man who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose. Now, you see, with patience, you got to know what you're patient for, though. Well, I'm just patient. Patient for what? Patient that my kid will come to the Lord. Patient that my husband will come to the Lord. See, so there's an end game to that patience. I have patience for this. God has patience for you. Because he knows you'll either come to this spot or you won't come to this spot. He knows the world is going to be redeemed, but there's a lot of things got to go through it. But he's got it right here. That's what he's looking at. Brother Brown said, Abraham looked at the promise, not the circumstances. If he would have wrote down in a diary for 25 years, he'd have never had that baby. He just said, God promised it. God's going to deliver it. A man who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings, patiently and steadfast. Steadfast waiting for. Do you know Simeon? Simeon was, Brother Ram said he was way up in his age, in his 90s, 80s or 90s. You know who Simeon is, right? Yeah. Simeon was promised by God he wouldn't die until he saw the Lord's Christ. Folks, he waited his entire life for one promise. entire life. Now, he didn't just go over there and sit in the temple and get fat and eat Cheetos. Right? I believe he went out looking for that every day. Because he knew that Messiah had to come. Waiting, he said, for the consolation of Israel. And then one day, what happened? One day, Brother Brown said he felt something pick him up. He felt something draw him. As he said in that, in the 20th century prophet, he said, drew him right to the fountain. Hundreds of babies probably getting circumcised that day. And here stands a little 16-year-old girl or 17-year-old girl with a brand new baby. No different than any other baby. He didn't look. The Catholic Church puts this little halo around the baby. There ain't no halo there. Now, he's God. We know that. But he didn't walk around with this little light all over him. No, he was hid. He was hid in a crowd. But what did God do? He went. He said, Simeon, I'm fixing to show you the promise that I promised you years and years and years ago. Brother Brown said he felt a pull and said he felt a pull. Got right up to the baby and said, let me have him. He said, Lord, let your servant depart in peace. For I have seen the consolation of Israel. In other words, I have seen the Messiah. I've went through 80 something years of waiting on this promise. Just for one promise. Didn't make him no great. He wasn't a bishop or he wasn't the high priest for sure. Or he would have said he was. No, he was somebody that worked in the temple. He did his job. Like Brother Brown said, a little washwoman going to work, man with his lunchbox under his arm, is what God is looking for if they are yielded to him. Let's skip through here a little bit. Be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit what? The promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, I was saying this morning, he just raised his hand and said, hey, I'm going to do it. Abraham, I know you're going to mess up. I told you to go by yourself. And here you take your cousin. Or your whatever he was. Nephew. Here, I told you not to do that. I told you don't go to Egypt. He goes down to Egypt. I told you not to do it. He goes down. God says, I'll do it. I'm going to swear by myself. I'm not swearing by Abraham. I'm not swearing by Adam. I'm swearing by myself. Now, where is he today? He wasn't in Abraham like he's in you right now. He was not in anybody in the Old Testament like he's in you right now. All the great ones, the Moses, all the different ones, they didn't have the Holy Ghost by the new birth. They had a Holy Ghost anointing. That way they could do what they did. They killed somebody or commit adultery. And God just seemingly let it go, but he didn't let it go like that. But David, if he had had the Holy Ghost, he'd never had his best friend killed. He'd have never committed adultery against his best friend. Amen? But he had an anointing. You and I have the person dwelling inside of us. In good times and bad times. Hey, we're married to him just like that marriage vow says. Good or bad, rich or poor, sickness and health. Brother Brown said one time, and I'm going to try to find that. He said, you ought to love God more when you're sick than you are when you're well. Because you know something's coming. You know he's the healer. How could you be? How can you know he was a healer if you never got sick? I've been so sick, and y'all know y'all have too, that you didn't even couldn't pray. But you know what you do? You just lay there and wait. Or you just stand there and wait, or you just sit there and wait. You just keep going. Just keep going. Keep going. My brethren, count it all joy. I want y'all to call me every time y'all get in a problem. I do. I want you to call me. You got my phone number. But I want you to be laughing. I want you to be praising God. Nothing negative now. When you fall into many temptations, count it all joy. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, look, wanting nothing. That's your perfect man. You're beginning to reflect the works of Christ. In other words, we're getting up here into patience. But so many of us trying to do the works of Christ before the reflection of Christ is in us. Now, there's the trouble. We can find these things happening, you know. You know it. You know it. We see these stumbles along the road. We find the scrap heaps of ministers, of Christians, piled along the road is because they didn't go into it right. And that's why I'm here this morning. Look, Brother Branham knew what he was here for. He might have not have said, I'm a prophet. He knew he was a prophet deep down inside. But he was here to teach his little church. Right. He was here to teach this little church and myself how that we can become the dwelling place of the living God. How many would like to be that? 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. James 5:7 says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. Who's the precious fruit of the earth? You and I are. Amen. And hath long patience for it. How about an eternal person waiting on us? Think about that. An eternal person waiting. An eternal person having patience. But you know why? It's because of us. Until he received the former or early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Let's continue on statue of perfect man. Fourthly, we want to add patience to your faith. If you got faith, it worketh patience, the Bible said. So this is patience. That's the next thing going to build this stature. God has to get real material in his building. See how short we are, brother and sister? See why we're at? Yes, sir. See, we have glory. We have shouts and things because we got faith. And like I said before, it's good to have special meetings and everybody get motivated and activated, and we do shout some, and we do, you know, enjoy the glory of the Lord. But it's like Brother Donnie Reagan said, he said, that's a special meeting. That's why that word special is in there. Because it's not every day you have a special meeting. Wednesdays and Sundays, you're laboring. The ox is laboring. Right? And you're laboring. Not so much you shout and speak in tongues or even say amen most of the time. But you got faith. But look, you got faith, but we have glory. We have shouts because we got faith. But when we come down to these things here, these things right here, God can't build us into that stature. See, he can't. He can't make us up to that kind of a place. We got all these other things. We fall, slide off with it. He can't build his church. Praise God, he does build his church, though. But look, faith alone won't do it. This is kind of where we was at this morning. El Shaddai, our brother Abraham, said that Abraham, we find out he didn't obey God just right. Now, he made ready and had faith in the promise. But see, we can still have faith in the promise and not obey. Still, it'll hinder us. Huh? We can have faith. We all have faith in the Word of God. If you're born again, you got faith. All right? You have faith in the promise. But sometimes we don't obey it. I'm reading. It's in red. Look, still it hinders us. Now you say, I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe I should be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now no matter how much you believe, you got to obey that commission. Obey that commission. Just faith alone won't work, because faith without works is dead. That's right. Now when we think of works, stop just a minute right here. When we think of works, what do you think? Oh, we got to make sure that we're on a serving line, and we make sure that we take the trash out, and we make sure that the pews get clean, and we make sure. That ain't works. That ain't works. Works is that right there. That's having virtue for someone. That's having knowledge to be able to help somebody, to be able to sit around a table, and some of us get together and you know, say, well, what about this? I've always had a question about this. And you answer the question, or the question gets answered by somebody. It doesn't really matter how the question gets answered. I just want the correct answer to the question. And the person that asked it, I want them to be satisfied with it. All right? Because faith without works is dead. So there's got to be works behind that faith. See, you can't tell me some, like I said this morning, you can't tell me that somebody can sit in the message pew for 30 years and then deny the whole message and say it's wrong. That Brother Branham's wrong. He's just a false prophet. How can you do that? Well, that you can. But you fall away, there's no way to get back unless you repent and go back. Just like the borderline believers. Got people today. You find in the Bible it said, for it is impossible for those which are once enlightened. Here we go. And made partakers of the Holy Ghost and fall away to renew themselves again unto repentance. Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and count the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. In other words, what are you saying? God's blood is not strong enough to do away with my problems. That's what you're saying. Right? Yeah. That's what this person's saying. Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and count the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and done despite to the works of grace. Now, Hebrews 10, it says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And those people, you've seen them come to church. They'll come and they'll say, oh, I believe. Yes, sir. But they believe it, but they'll never lay their hands to it to turn one wheel to help it go on. That's not serving in the chow line. That's not cooking the best squash casserole. Slaw. That's good. Wonderful. Very credible. Extremely important. To some of us. But to God, that's not works. That's just being a good fellow human being. A good Christian person. Look, because he says, look, never lay their hands to it to turn one wheel to help it go on. God, I don't want to ever hinder somebody. That's why I say in the service, you walk through that door, you come up for prayer, whatever it is, if you're sitting back there, you need to say, God, clean my slate. Clean my slate. Make sure I'm not the one that's going to have to stand and say, you're the one that caused this person to not get healing. I don't want that. But it's so simple to say, God, forgive me. When we take communion. Listen, when you take communion, if you start, and I know what the devil will do. He's going to give you 7,000 reasons to not take it. You did this. I think Sister Anna did. She looked at me wrong the other day, and I don't think she needs to take it. It's her fault. You worry about your fault. But when I take communion, I do the same thing. Though I said, Lord, if I made any, because Brother Ryan will tell you in the communion message, he said, now if you've committed a wrong to somebody, he said, if you can't get to him right then, he said, go ahead and take communion. He said, but you better go get that took care of as soon as you're finished. All right, don't let it linger on like Brother Dale said. Don't let it go 2 weeks and say, well, it was their fault to begin with. No, you're going to have to deal with God. That's why I like to have communion every month. Clean your slate off. Don't let that thing pile up. Listen, don't let stuff pile up. Get it out of the way and be able to take communion. Because what is communion? Communion with God. You're not communing with your brother and sister here. You're communing with God. You're saying, God, I believe that's the last commission you gave your disciples before you passed this life into another life. And you're not coming back here in your corporal body until we leave this place. And this is the closest we're going to get. Now, it's not turn, that does not do like Catholic. It does not turn into the flesh of God or Jesus and the flesh and the blood. But it's a symbol. He said, do this till I come. Do this till I come. So it's a symbol that we're not communing with each other. We're communing with God. That one time, we always, and I know Sister Rebecca's being an accountant and different things. There's time when you check up things. You know, you let things go, and she wishes you wouldn't, so she wouldn't have to long do your taxes, talking to the Dales. The Wade Dale Jr. But if we, you have a checkup time where everything's got to come up in balance. All right? Well, that's what you got to do to me with communion. I look at it that way for me. It doesn't let it linger 3 months down the road. When I come in on communion, I take it serious. You better take it serious. Because it'll tell you that many have fell asleep, died, because of taking communion wrong. You say, well, I'll never take it. Now, see, you go on the other side. You let the devil do that. But no, clean your slate. Say, God, today of any other day, before I touch that cup, before I touch that bread, sanctify me, Lord. You said you would. Clear my slate. Check me up. Get me the balance at zero. Now, I might have a big balance coming the next month, but God, right now, balance me at zero. Get me to where I zero me out, and I trust in what you said. You said, do this till I come. You know, there's people in the message that's quit taking communion because they think we're in the millennium. I still want to take them to a zoo. Throw them in with the lions. Because the lion's supposed to lay down with the lamb in the millennium. You understand what I'm saying? You know, we're supposed to have rulership over the animals. Let's toss them over in the lion's den. We'll find out if they're in the millennium or not. They believe it, but they'll never lay their hands on to turn wheels to help it go on. I've told y'all many times before, just like taking communion. If you don't take communion, it shows that you do have a problem. Okay? And then, for many years, a lot of people took communion, and when foot washing time come, out the door they went. Well, Jesus told Peter, if you don't do it, you have no part with me. I think to me that settles it. And I don't wait on my favorite person to wash your feet either. Well, I'm going down that road anyway. But really, why wouldn't you want to wash your brother's feet? You know what? Pride. You're too proud. If Jesus Christ himself washed them dirty feet of those disciples, you and I ought to do the same thing. And be happy are ye if you do them, is what the Bible says. Happy are you. But he turned to Peter. He said, Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, so you have no part with me. You say, oh, that was for Peter. Well, no, that was for me. It gets rid of my pride when I get down and wash somebody. Like Brother Tom Ernest always, man, he'd look you right in the face. He said, it's an honor to wash your feet, brother. And he'll get down and walk. Big old, you know, big Tom, great big tall guy. Brother Dick Addison, Brother Al, they couldn't hardly walk. You'd have to help them up. You know what? I don't care if we have to put a pulley on this ceiling and pull them up by a pulley. If they want to get down and wash somebody's feet, praise the Lord, we'll help them up. You know what? God will reward their effort. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to get off on that, but I guess I did. But they hung along just the same. They never got to enter the promised land. He's talking about the people that were unbelievers. Just those who came back with faith that we could. Now, what if that group would have looked and said, oh, the Amorites, in other words, my sin's too strong, I've done too much. But you see, Caleb and Joshua stilled the people. Because they wasn't looking at the Amorites, how big they were. If we keep looking at how big this sin is, or how big this world is, and how we're going to get so caught up in the government, and we're going to take the mark of the beast, and we're going to... Listen, if you're born again, you're not. Right. If you are going to take the mark of the beast, you're not born again. Right. And Brother Brown said you won't know it until it's already done. How big the city was, they were looking at a promise. God said, I give you this land, it's yours. Now, God give you your healing, each one of you, it's yours. Amen. Well, now, God just didn't go over there and took a broom and sweep out Canaan and all the Amorites and the Hittites and all of them and swept them out and said, come on in, Israel, this is yours. They've even planted crops for you. No, sir. They had to fight for every inch of the way. Now, this was their promised land they had to fight for. That's right, but they had the promise of victory. God told Joshua, wherever the soles of your feet tread that I've given you, so footprints means possession. We were talking about that this morning. Footprints means possession. That's why, to me, foot washing is important, because your feet mean something. How blessed and how beautiful are the feet? of them that carry the gospel. Beautiful. Because footprints is possession everywhere you walk. You're possessing the gates of the enemy. Brother Brown said, look, patience with what? What kind of patience? First thing is what? Have patience with who? God. If you've got real, genuine faith, you'll have real, genuine patience because faith worketh patience. You say, well, Brother Wade, how does that work? Well, if you've got patience, if you've got faith, Abraham was the father of our faith. He had faith, and that made him patient. I didn't say impatient. Having faith that my kids are going to come to the Lord and be full of the Holy Ghost before the rapture takes place. If I have real true faith, it won't put me in a hurry. It'll settle me, put me in patient mode, and just wait on God. Can't save them to begin with. I'd been saved 30-something years ago if Mama had been my Savior, but she's not. But she cried out to God. Dad cried out to God. Different ones. Each one of you. Somebody. You may have never met them in your life. You said, boy, my parents were sinners and my grandparents were sinners. And somebody, Brother Brown, son, said some old saint got on her knees and said, God, save my generation. Save my people. Save them. It doesn't matter. In spite of this one not making it, save somebody. If you've got real genuine faith, you'll have real genuine patience because faith works patience. When God says anything, look, you believe it. And look, by faith, you take it. See, that's right. You've got patience. Well, I asked him last night to heal me and I'm just as sick. What patience? Now, Noah, he had patience. If it didn't come today, it'll be here tomorrow. Why? God said so. God said so. Let me tell you something. We have come to a spot in the Word of God where, look, we know who God is. He's not a third person of a Trinity. He's not three people. He's one God. So we know that God. We've come to another place to where we know what this said by the prophet's message. Right? So we know. In that little three little words, God said so. Because you know what? Somebody in the world can say, well, God said so. Well, he's the third person in the Trinity. Said to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Sure he did. But not the way you wanted. So when we make that statement, when Brother Brown makes that statement, to me, it just thundered out all over the world. God said so because you know who that God is. You know what he said is the truth, and so be it. To me, folks, that's patience. If it had been up to us, the rapture would have took place a long time ago. But he's let it go. He's let it go. He's let it go. He's let it go to where now we see others coming back in. We see others going out. But he knew that. Now we find God comes this far. Look. Waiting for the church too. But it'll be there. Don't you worry. He promised it. Isaiah 40 verse 28. Musicians, come on. I'll stop right here. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is he weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. How many of you want to get in that? So do I. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk. See, some's going to run, some's going to walk. And not faint. As the song says, teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Where does it tell you to wait at, though? Down on your knees. Let's stand to our feet. I'll read this and then we'll close. The trouble of it is, with we people, now listen, this was 1962. Think of all the advancements that we have now that they didn't have back then. We got phones that we can go in and order everything from a car almost to a house on our phone. And Brother Brown says, look, we're in too much of a hurry. It's just got to be done right now. Can't come back no more, see? And when you get that in your mind, that you're going to lose, when you get that in your mind, you're going to lose right there. You're on losing ground right there. You have nothing to stand on. You must be patient. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and mount up with wings like an eagle. I like that. Just be patient. Wait, look. God's in no hurry. He let the Hebrew children walk right into the furnace before he ever moved a finger. We'd be nervous. I'm sure they were nervous in their self. But you know what they stood there and said? They said, our God, we're going to worship him. We're not going to worship yours. You're not going to make us not worship our God. And if he, in other words, if he don't come on the scene, we're going to die and meet him in just a few seconds. But oh my, did he not come on the scene? And listen, not even did they get burned. They didn't even smell like smoke when they come out. God so sanctified them, man. He put them in a fiery furnace and brought them out just like they'd been on an Alaska voyage. That's right. And let Daniel go right in the lion's den. Listen, lowered him right down. Daniel probably wasn't shouting and speaking in tongues. He probably was worried a little bit about those lions. But when he saw that lion walk by him and just walk by him and then sit down beside of him and start purring like a kitten, he knew right then that something was going on. God was on the scene. Jesus, look, watch this. Jesus went plumb into the grave. His soul went to hell. Then raised him up through the bottomless pit. Right out through the grave. Cut every avenue of the devil off and went straight into glory with it. See, he's in no hurry. He's God. We just get in a hurry is the only thing, you see. We miss it. So don't be in a hurry. Wait and watch. Listen. Take the scripture, examine it, see if it's right. And if it's right, hold on to it. If it's not, tell me so I can get it right. That should be our prayer. Then remember what happened with Noah. Remember, Noah here's the great crescendo of his sermon. He comes up to day 120 of his 120-year sermon. And God says, get in the ark. God said, get in the ark. All right, so whatever voice Noah had been listening to, he listened to that one too. He knew it was God. God said, get in the ark. So Noah's like, it's going to rain. As soon as them doors shut, it's going to just pour. Day one. Day two. Day three. Wow. Day four. His kids were missing work. Day five. Remember, day five, day six. Be patient, son. Listen, this is what they said. Well, Daddy, this is 6 days that we've been sitting here in this big old dry ark sitting right here, and it's all pitched inside and out. We've been all these years building on it, and you stood out there and preached till you turned gray and bald. And here you are up here now trying to say such and such a thing, and the people are laughing, throwing rotten tomatoes and things against the side of it. Look there what you're doing. Why you say, he said, be patient, son. Are you sure? It will rain. His daughter-in-law said, Father, you know, it will rain. But we've been all these years waiting. We've been preparing. You told us it's going to rain a week ago. And we're in here and the doors are shut. Here we are walking around and the sun just scorching right down on us. But it will rain. How do you know? God said so. Now we get that way, add it. But if we ain't got it that way, don't try to add it. It won't work. Let's sing a song. God bless you. Oh, my sins is is the blood that still cleanses me.
It's the grace
that still sets me free. To what? To praise Him. And I know the blood's applied. I'm walking in newness of life. I cannot fall, for greater than all the blood of the Lamb.
Oh, think about Him. Let's worship Him just a minute.
He's greater than all my sin.
Is the blood that still cleanses
me. The blood of Jesus Christ.
Is the grace that still sets
nothing stronger.
Me free.
To do what?
To praise Him. I know the blood's applied. I'm walking in newness of life. I cannot fall, for greater than all the blood of the Lamb.
Sing it to Him one more time. Do you have a need?
Greater than is the blood that still cleanses me. It's the grace that still sets me free.
To do what?
To praise Him. I know the blood.
How do you know? God says so. How do you know you're going to get healed? God says so. God said so. How you know you're going to make it through life? God said so. I cannot fall.
Than all my sin.
That's the greatest thing, Lord. There's nothing else any better than this. That's not an invention. Man has never come to this part to be able to be a group of people that can talk to a God that's real, that's eternal, that's right here waiting to give you everything you need.
Blood's applied. I'm walking in newness of life. I cannot fall, for it's greater than all the blood of the Lamb.
You know, they had to have faith that night of the Passover. They had to believe something had never been written. They had to believe a man. It wasn't wrote down, Brother John. It wasn't in the sky. It wasn't published and handed out to everybody. God told Moses, tell your people, take a lamb, kill that lamb, take the blood, and put it over the doorpost. And don't get out. Stay in there. Eat that lamb. Don't fry it. Don't put no herbs on it. This is not a party. This is getting ready to go. It's a solemn time. And look, don't get dilatory and sit down and take your shoes off and put your house shoes on. He said, because we're leaving. You're leaving this place. As soon as a death angel passes, you're going out of here.
Yes.
But if you're not under that blood, you'll die also. You know, people, that they were this far from death and that far from life. Right inside the door, they were safe. If they just stepped right outside the door, they died. They believed that that blood was going to protect them. They believed, and that's why Brother Brown preaches the token. Talk about the token in the end time. We understand why all that blood had to be shed. We understand why Jesus had to shed His blood. We understand how all those symbols and everything. But that blood, Brother Brown, then he comes, he sums everything up in a sermon. He says, the bride is now the blood by the Spirit. The bride is now the blood by the Spirit. So whatever went over that doorpost was the bride. Whatever hung at Calvary, say what you wish, that's the bride. But now we understand that by the Spirit of God, we're that blood. You, that's pretty strong, brother. That's pretty well. You talk to Brother Brown about it. He said, "Now, see, he come to a place. Now, the bride is the blood by the Spirit. That means the same Spirit that was in that blood is the same Spirit that's inside me and you. And he's ready to not just give us a little redemption. He didn't put it over your doorpost. He put it inside of you. So now you're protected. The blood's been applied. You're walking in newness of life." We can't fail. We may look bad. We may look bad. Hey, we got Monday coming up. Okay? But God willing, we'll be here Wednesday to hear Brother Luis, and we'll have made it through another Monday. Amen? Count those. We count all these other days. Count every Monday as a blessing to get through. But same thing with us and our walk with God. We all have Mondays in our walk. We all have Sundays in our walk. In our week. But let's not be weak in faith. Let's believe that sure we got a trial to go through. But on the other side is a blessing. Those children of Israel would have died if they would have went outside of that blood. But everyone that stayed inside, I like that, talking about the movie, the Ten Commandments. You see that death angel coming down, that black. And you see it hitting the ground and start spreading out. Well, you know what? It didn't go under no crack in the one that had the blood. Because you know what happened? That death angel, he goes down and he looks and he sees blood. He keeps going. He finds one that's not. He goes right in. Because that was his commission. God told him, said, take the firstborn. And if they don't apply the blood, get them out of, you know, take them out. And they did. All of Israel, the Bible said, all of Egypt was screaming. Even the firstborn of the cattle, everything that was firstborn died that night. Except the ones that were covered with the blood. They did what a preacher told them to do. I cannot fall for greater than all the blood of the Lamb. Sing it as you're dismissed. Be here Wednesday night. Greater than all my sins
is the blood that still cleanses me.